To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, God's only Son, be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. God, open my eyes that I might see my church as you see it. Let me see where change needs to take place, even if it is painful to me. And use me, I pray, to be an instrument of that change, whatever the cost. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, Trinity Hicksville, it's kind of nice to be home, to be back. I can remember very vividly sitting in that chair there, Pastor Dwyer, looking at that window over here and saying, I wonder how long I'll sit there and look at that window. And I sat there for 5.5 years. And little did I expect I would sit there again next week and look at that window. But God opens doors. God makes a difference in all of our lives. And let me assure you that I'm not Paul being asked to come to Macedonia or Hicksville to do what he did, but I am a servant of Christ who's been called by God, by this congregation in one way or another, to help you in your mission and ministry to this community, to make a difference in the lives of people who have been here for a long time, people who have been here for a short time, and people who have not yet come through the doors, and especially if you're a visitor today, to make you feel a part of the family of God here at Trinity. On March 5th, 1850, and I don't think any of you were there at that time, right? There was a group of four families in Hicksville that gathered over on New Bridge Road. And their purpose was to organize a German Lutheran church. This was not unusual in 1850. I think most Lutherans were Germans, right? Yeah, we didn't have many Lutherans that their names ended with a vowel, all right? It was just not part of our life for most of the time, the history of the Lutheran Church, but certainly not in 1850, right? But they had a vision. They had a vision to touch the lives of the people in this community and surrounding communities with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And they set out on that mission to organize what has become known as Trinity Lutheran Church. That really wasn't its name in 1850, by the way, wasn't it? Well, it was, but in German. It was the Evangelische Lutherische Kirche. Most of you don't even understand that. That's not the people groups that we're inundated with in our community anymore, is it? Oh, there's some of us left. I mean, Freilich is about as German as you get. Dwyer's not too German, right? But nor is our community. But that vision is the same. See, about 14 years after that, they finally got together and they built a church. And that church was across the street, over here on Nikolai Street. And then I think it became, after the church, it became Nikolai Street School. Now we're getting into some of your frame of reference for some of you folks, right? And in 1930, about in the midst of the Depression era, they built this church. Now we have come to a place where some people in this church have some recollection of what went on there. But it's fading fast, isn't it? So where do we go? Well, we still have the same challenge. And what's behind this is what we call history, and we can't change that history. And it's important for us to know what it will be, what it was, because in that history was also the vision to build a school and to touch the lives of children and adults through that school, and that ministry is still here. My family was benefited from that as our children attended the school, even though we didn't live in this community. And they show a great respect for that education that they received. But what the future will be like for Trinity is what one might call a mystery. We don't quite know what that's going to be, right? But we do know it's going to be a little bit different looking than our past has been. But isn't that the great challenge? Isn't that what God has planted us in this place to do? To engage the people with the gospel of hope in this community and the surrounding communities, and to share that with them and to embrace the people of God here. So that's the mystery. What we do know is that present of what our situation is. And then the challenge is to make history with what God has equipped us with. And that is our commitment, right, Pastor Dwyer? That's the commitment, I believe, of our staff. And that's what we need from all of you, that same sort of commitment. So what we have now is the present. And the present is a gift from God. God breathes into us the breath of life, and he sends us out, just like little Andrew in just a few minutes. What a great statement that at both services today we've had baptisms. A sign and a symbol of new life and new hope. And we traditionally say in a baptismal service when we baptize that baby, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And you know, that's all of us. That was our baptismal covenant with God, too, to share our faith and our love. And the little children will lead them. But we are God's children, too. And God gives us that challenge. And so the text for today that I want you to think about, and I didn't even say part of it at the last service, I got so verschimmelt. That's a German word. Luke writes, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Today, Andrew is baptized by water and the Holy Spirit. So when they had met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. That's still good words for us. We don't know when he's coming again. But you will receive power. You, meaning the disciples, that's you, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria and Hicksville, New York. Well, that's a little play on the text. But this is the ends of the earth, isn't it? Well, sort of. But he gives us that challenge, just as he gave those disciples. What do you think their response might have been? Can you imagine those disciples? The ones that Jesus picked out? And he said, drop everything you're doing and follow me. I can see you would all be eager to do that, right? Drop everything. Just follow Jesus. Don't do anything else. Follow me. But they did it, didn't they? was the impelling power of the Spirit of God that moved them, and it's that same Spirit that it moves us, hopefully. And as Luke addressed this, he says to my beloved friend Theophilus. Who is that Theophilus? Anybody know who Theophilus is? It's you. It's me. The word Theophilus means lover of God. If we're lovers of God, we are being addressed by God. And he's sending you and me to make a difference in that world that God has placed us. But he's not sending us out without the power of the Spirit of God to make that difference, just as he did with those first disciples. And today, this 21st century world in which we're in so many ways, isn't tremendously different in terms of its need to hear what God has to say. And just like then, he chooses people to make that happen. And that's you. That's me. That's not our job, the two of us. That's our job. Whether it's in the classroom, right, with precious little children, whether it's in the supermarket, at your job, wherever it might be. Because if we heard the text, what does he say? You shall be my witnesses. And to witness means to testify, to tell your story of your relationship with Jesus. And there's many and various ways to do it. It's not necessarily walking up to a person saying, let me tell you about Jesus. You might have that opportunity sometime. But let them see Jesus in you too. And they'll know that story. So the challenge that he gives us is to do that, to live out your faith. A faith that needs to continually grow, to mature. I'm amazed at how much I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'll read the Bible every once in a while. I'll say, I don't remember ever reading that before. Has that ever happened to you, Pastor? Happens to me all the time. Or I'll say, now I see it this way, but then I'm seeing it through a little bit older eyes, right? It's a little bit different. When you're a mom, is it different than when you weren't? Yes, it is. When you're a dad, when you're a grandpa, those are the best days. But God says, live out your faith. And that's the challenge that I give to every person in this church today. Member, non-member, visitor, you know, godparent, whatever. We, as God's people, need to live out our faith. And there's a challenge for us to focus our lives together as the church with a unity in mind of the mission of the church, of the ministry that we share, and of how we go about doing that in this pluralistic society in which you and I live today. Are you ready for the challenge? So I would propose to you today, because you are to be the witnesses in Hicksville, Levittown, Bethpage, Jericho, Westbury. Sound like a Long Island Railroad conductor, don't I? I always love to do that, all right? Mineor, all right? Jamaica, change that Jamaica for, all right? Well, we are the church in all those places wherever God plants us day to day. So what we need from the people of God here in this church today is a prayerful commitment. Number one, to worship. There's something great about gathering people together, right? So that they can be scattered out into the world, having been fed through God's word and sacrament. That's the empowering part of our life together as the church. So we need you to be here for worship. Regularly, all right? Not occasionally, regularly. We need you to have a prayerful commitment and service to each of us using the individual gifts and talents that God has placed upon you. And they're many and various, aren't they? And we all have some. And I've got to say, some of you have a lot more than I'll ever have. I mean, if any of you are techies and you can and you think you could educate somebody in technology, speak to me. I need help. Right? The poor secretary in this office is going to suffer because I'll be doing something and all of a sudden she's going to hear this loud voice from the office saying, "Kim!" And we all have those things, don't we? But each of us has been given individual gifts and graces to make a difference with whatever they are, whatever gifts and talents God has bestowed upon you. And we all have it. Yes, we need your support for the ministry here with your talents and with your treasures and with your time so that all of the people are doing something and not just some of the people are doing everything. That's a challenge.